Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new episode, a new edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is your host, Gio. Very glad that you are downloading these podcasts. Thank you for your support. And we thank you because, obviously, you're searching for truth in a world full of uncertainty. And what we speak here is truth unfiltered. Thank you. We just ask that you were to promulgate, that you were to disseminate these podcasts with your friends, with your family members, with those that are needing to hear the absolute truth, especially in a world that all it provides is uncertainty, deceit, etc., etc. Earlier this week, we celebrated the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. Now, for those people who are not history buffs, the Gettysburg Address was a chat that was giving, a two-minute chat that was given by Abraham Lincoln dedicating the National Cemetery at Gettysburg in Pennsylvania. And it's probably one of the most renowned, well-known, popular addresses ever given by a U.S. politician, especially a United States president. Under 2 minutes, there's a bunch of different themes that are touched upon by President Lincoln in this particular address. Now, what's the importance of Gettysburg? Gettysburg, probably one of the most infamous battles during the Civil War in 1863, which was held in July in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Among the estimates of the dead, it seems like there's approximately 8,000 that were deceased in that particular battle. And the estimates have climbed to 46,000, which includes dead, wounded, captured, and even disappeared. Pretty big number. So one sees the solemnity of that particular event when they were dedicating that National Soldier Cemetery at Gettysburg. And I guess some people have attributed this grandiose moment in the history of our country, and also at that particular moment in the history of President Lincoln's tenure as the leader of the free world. Now, I bring this up because, as we have spoken in the past, there's been a lot said about Lincoln's life. Many biographers have looked to the past and have looked extensively and have said so much, written so much extensively about Lincoln's life. And we've recently even had books published about Lincoln's religious beliefs. The truth of the matter is that we cannot affirmatively confirm that Lincoln was a Christian. Many Christians have made the error, have made the mistake of saying that Lincoln was a Christian. And they have said the same thing. They have tried to attribute the same characteristic to people such as George Washington and others when these people were not Christians. Of course, in many cases, we cannot validate what atheists have also claimed, which they say is true, which, for example, they say, well, many of the founding fathers were atheists. They were not. Thomas Jefferson, and they always point to Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. He believed in a power called God, but, for example, in letters that he wrote to friends, he admitted, he openly said that he considered Jesus's miracles, all of the important things that are narrated in Scripture, to be dunghills. That is what he described it as. But nevertheless, he always believed that there was some supreme power, an agnostic, I guess you could call Thomas Jefferson. But that's Thomas Jefferson. When we look at the life of Abraham Lincoln, we see that this man was an atheist, especially in his youth. He questioned his father's Calvinistic beliefs. Calvinism meaning the belief espoused and promulgated by John Calvin, which was first believed and promulgated by St. Augustine, his teacher, posthumous teacher, if you will, that God preordains, predetermines all things. There is no such thing as free will. God determines absolutely everything before the foundations of the earth, which would go to mean that what I am saying right now into this microphone, God is making me do it. That's the whole idea behind predestination. Lincoln abhorred the thought of predestination. He negated it. He denied it. He rejected it and turned his ways because he read the likes of Thomas Paine and others. He became an atheist. And this is well known. This is documented in history. The interesting thing about this is, ladies and gentlemen, a friend of his, a close personal friend of his, knew that he was writing a tract that promoted the atheistic ideals and at the same time directly mocked the scriptures. But this man knew that Abraham Lincoln had political ambitions, and he burned that book for the case of his future political career. It even popped up later on in interviews where people asked Abraham Lincoln whether or not he truly was an atheist in his youth, and he negated it. He denied it. He lied about it. And even more so, when we examine all of Abraham Lincoln's writings, most of the mentions that God is given are usually the very generic terms that were given to God at that point. We're talking about words like providence, God. It's another typical word that is used today. Not to say that God is not God, but you know that in our PC culture, God can mean anything to anybody. That's what this culture has made God out to be. God can be whatever you want him or her, like they say, to be. Utmost blasphemy, of course. Now, what is the importance of this? Why do I even bring this up? Well, there's an important point to all of this. It made me think about the way that Christians have unfortunately sought validation for their belief in people that are famous or otherwise well-known in some sort of community. What do I mean by this? Well, let me put it another way. Let me phrase it in an ulterior way, in a different way. Christians looking to feel better about what they believe, looking to put a seal of approval on what they believe by looking to those that the society looks to for advice, for cultural well-being. And if these people embrace Christ, then they feel better about what they believe. In other words, they put utmost confidence in those that say that they believe in Jesus Christ and not on the scriptures, and not they don't confide in Jesus. Their utmost authority for all things theological is celebrity, our Hollywood types, our talking heads, not Jesus, the author and the finisher, the one who brings to a proper ending our faith. So you begin to see the error of this when you examine it. And then, why do I use Abraham Lincoln, you might ask? Well, he's a perfect example. He's a perfect example. How many Christians have said throughout the years, Abraham Lincoln is a Christian. Great. Wonderful. And they seek for some sort of validation of their Christian beliefs in the fact that Abraham Lincoln was a Christian in their mind. But let me tell you a little something. Let's go back. Let's research the history and see some of the things that Abraham Lincoln believed. If you ever get a chance, and I implore you to do so, please read Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address. You will notice that Mr. Lincoln espoused the Calvinism that he rejected early on in life, later on in life, especially after he took the presidency. He believed that God preordained all things, including things that are considered bad, evil. Please take a look at this. It says here, quote, "Each looked for an easier triumph," talking about the North and the South during the Civil War, "and as a result, less fundamental and astounding. Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. It may seem strange that any men should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces, but let us judge not that we be judged not," which he just judged in his aforementioned statement, but we'll leave that alone. "The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been fully answered. The Almighty has his own purposes. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh." It's quoting Jesus. "If we shall suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses which, in the providence of God, must needs come, but which, having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war as the woe due to those by whom the offense came, shall we discern therein any departure from the divine attributes which the believers in the living God always ascribe to him?" In other words, the idea was that God permitted slavery for X amount of time because that was his will. So therefore, the atheist, I guess, under Lincoln's beliefs, had it right, or have it right, that God permits evil. He's therefore, I guess, a creator of it, because he allows it to happen. Wow. But then he punishes the states because they went past the allotted time allowed for slavery by God. But I wonder, if God is so almighty, so powerful, then why did the states continue, especially the South, enacting slavery? Because if his sovereign will is so great, then the states, then the United States should have never have gone past the allotted time that God had given the states for slavery. So in essence, the idea is that God said, this offense, slavery, it needs to be instituted for a while, but not past the time that I say so. And if you do, you're going to be punished because I'm going to bring about war, which he did. These are some of the things that these men who say that they believe in God or have believed in God espouse. And then Christians say about these people, the people that they validate in order to feel better about and to bring some sort of seal of approval on their own Christian faith. Oh, he's a Christian. I have to follow this person. I have to follow their every word and every advice that they give because they've reached the pinnacle of success and of fame and of fortune. Is that the measuring rod? Is that the standard, I ask, that you reach fame and fortune, which makes a person all of a sudden credible before our eyes and everything that they believe? We need to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, who in whom we put our trust, man or God. Many of us have said over and over again, I put my trust in Jesus, absolutely, 100%. But when we examine what we believe and those that we follow, could it be that we're following man and not God? It's important for each and every one of us to examine ourselves, to see if we are right with God, if we absolutely place our 100% absolute, undwindling, unchanging trust in him. Something to consider. And I don't know, just a little history lesson for our listeners and some examination, I think, is in order. Just take the time to see if there's this deficiency in your life. Be honest with yourself. If you are honest, God will help you to eliminate this particular characteristic in your life and to put absolute trust in him. I thank you for listening. Once again, I thank you for downloading these podcasts. Please remember to share these with your friends and family members. They too will need to know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. If you have any questions, please email me at gio@lwym.org. Visit our website, lwym.org. It is updated on a weekly basis with all of the upcoming events, newest podcasts. You can also subscribe to our email updates so that in your inbox, every single week, you receive the updates, first and foremost, about when our newest podcast episodes are released for you to download and other important goings-on news for LWYM. And if you're in the Miami vicinity, I ask you that you were to visit us. Pay us a visit every Friday night for our Friday night youth meetings, 8 p.m. We are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. I hope to see your face, hope to shake your hand and say hello. Until the next time that we meet, I thank you once again for your patronage, and may the Lord shine his face upon you.